Would you turn in your Bibles just one verse, kind of a thematic verse for this morning's celebration, Psalm 40, verse 5. That's what we're trying to do a little bit of this morning. The psalmist says, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things that you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare." Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this celebration day, 6 years of serving you in this time and in this place. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we get to recount some of your great deeds. There's not enough time to tell them all, but a few. And Lord, we just thank you for each one that's here. We pray that you would touch them through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we rejoice and be glad in you today. And we pray all this always and only in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so it's kind of hard to believe that it's been 6 years of life here at Mosaic Church. And in talking to a number of people in recent days in the new year, there's kind of two responses. Some people say, "Wow, I can't believe it's been 6 years." And then others are like, "Are you kidding? We've only been doing this 6 years?" A variety of responses. Really a short span of time. We've constantly asked this question here at Mosaic Church. What kind of church do we want to be? This has been a big question. From the get-go, we sought to foster a church culture of radical loving, giving, and forgiving in all that we say and do. We said we wanted to be a different kind of church, one that's radically committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and radically uncommitted to the traditions of men that Anne Marie alluded to a little earlier. Because so many of the traditions of men, you know, hats and clothes and the way you speak or dumb stuff like that, it's not scriptural, right? It's just a culture thing. It's fine, but just don't make it scriptural, right? Again, regarding our deep commitment to evangelism and community outreach, our watchword has been and will remain, and I hope you'll memorize our church motto. Well, we have a couple. If it ain't what? Immoral, illegal, or unbiblical, we're going to what? Ride it till the wheels fall off. Oh, you know how many people get offended in this community? How can you say that? That's irreverent. Is it? Prove it. All right, so this morning we're here to worship, we're here to fellowship, to celebrate, recounting, remembering the great deeds of our God. We want to bring him our grateful hearts. And as I've spoken to many people over the last few weeks, it is astounding what God has done in 6 short years here. I mean, I couldn't recount all of them, a few of them, but I want to start with the music. Music is always a great way to recount the great deeds of God. We sing it, right? We're singing our faith, and I'm really grateful and thankful. We have an awesome worship team. Yeah, Anne Marie, Bruce, Gary, Melissa, and special music that comes in and out all the time. It's really encouraging. Love these guys. They're great, and they do professional work. These are actually real professionals. Let me just brag on them for a minute. You know, in so many ways, when you look at the Bible, it is filled to the brim with stories recounting the great deeds of God. Isn't that what it's in many ways about? And the grateful responses of God's people throughout the ages. You don't have to comb through books like the Psalms for very long. You will find ancient songs of God's people praising him, recounting, remembering his great deeds with grateful hearts. But as I think about this verse, Psalm 45, I have to be honest. It's really true. "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things that you planned for us, no one can recount to you. If I were to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare." And I don't want to do a long sermon either. So here's a few things I just want to share. Some of these I've shared before because they're just priceless. Some of them are new. But you may remember a few words are required to talk about what God was already doing. In Wesleyan theology, there's this idea of prevenient grace. Yeah, tipping my hat to Reverend Dwight, Reverend Doug, retired ministers, so grateful they're here. Do you believe that God works in people's lives before they come to faith in Jesus? It's so encouraging. God was working in our midst before we knew anything was going to happen here. Some of you know the story that our church elder, Greg Reinhardt, has shared about God's movement and preparation for this work. And you can't make this stuff up, folks. This is really good. Greg, I think it was about 9 years, Greg, maybe-ish. Greg was standing in this very place 9 years ago with his good friend Mark Weyer, who used to own this building, our church, as well as Elevate, which is now there. And he said he made a comment that turned out to be, dare I say, prophetic, right? He said, this would be a great place to start a church 9 years ago. We're six, but that was 3 years before. God, I think, gave Greg a little bit of a spiritual glimpse of what he would eventually do in the planting of this church. Meanwhile, during that time, God was preparing a unique group of radical and courageous believers who wanted to be on mission, who didn't want to just play church or do, you know, something for an hour on Sunday, but who wanted to be on mission, wanted to build the kingdom of God here in the Bitterroot Valley. So no country clubs, no museums, no posh retirement centers, just reaching the lost and the broken and the suffering in Jesus' name with no strings attached. Whenever we minister to people, whenever we give benevolence, whatever, there are no strings attached. People get nervous, like, well, what do you want from me? If I take this ham dinner, do I have to come to church? Nope, you don't have to, but we invite you, right? Big difference. We require nothing, right? And so again, during the 6 months, it's sort of funny as the years go on, after the 6 months after my firing from Canyon View, about 40 different people came to me during that period and said, hey, would you and Deb start a new church? And I was like, my response to that was the same as my response to my mom about 10 years ago. She said, don't you think it's time for you to go back into pastoral ministry? And I said, no, no, with all my heart, absolutely not. Here's the deal with church planting. Church planting is hard work because it's like starting a new business. It has those elements to it, right? A church is not a business, but there's a business to ministry. Does that make sense? Right, lots of things are necessary. And church planting is normally for younger guys who want to put in 70 or 80 hours a week. That's just the reality of it, right? But everyone else already knew this was going to happen. Guess who was the last one to know this church was going to happen? Me. People still laugh at me over that. And I love it, actually. I love it. So Mosaic Church began as a gathering of like-minded Christians in my living room. Right? And then on January 22nd, 2017, we had our first service, some of you know this story, in the banquet bar area of the Elks Club here in Hamilton. Right? The good people at the Elks Club, I was so grateful for them, they said, hey, how long do you want to meet here? You know, 2-3 months? And I'm like, that'd be great. Sure. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, just smile. He said, we're going to have to charge you. I'm like, I understand. They said, would $25 a week be okay? And I was like, yeah, that'd be acceptable. I could manage that, probably. But here's the thing, here's the God thing, is that God only meant for us to be there that one Sunday. Because during that week, we heard from former owners here, Mark and Don Ware, you may remember the Bitterroot Christian bookstore here that they ran. Unbeknownst to all of us, God told the Wares, they had been praying, and God moved in their hearts and said, let Mosaic have the second area for a donation. Same week. I can't make this stuff up on my best day, people. You know, and at that point, God was fulfilling his word, his sort of little spiritual glimpse to Greg about a church being planted in this place. God reaffirmed Deb and my calling to the valley, because after that awful time, we knew God wasn't done with us here. It just felt weird. It's like, what's next? We had no idea whatsoever. But actually, Carol brought a word that really helped us. And this is not meant to be mean or pointing fingers, but she said, God brought you guys to the valley, not for Canyon View, but for Mosaic. And I'm like, oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it. And then wonder of wonders, I think, here's the sort of schadenfreude, delicious irony, is that we realized that God actually used Canyon View to help us plant this church. We didn't really realize it. great gifted people, some finances to start this unique fellowship of loving, giving, and forgiving. But you know what? During that time, and I don't want to dwell on negativity, but other people created a whole bunch of false narratives. We have any false narratives in our society today? Here's one for you. This literally happened very recently. I'm just sharing this because I was cracking up when Deb was sharing this at the dinner table some days ago. Deb was outside, my wife, outside the front of the church standing there, and a woman came up to her. I don't know who this woman is. I don't need to. But she said, is this the church plant of Jim Smith? And she was like, well, yeah. And she didn't know that she was talking to my wife. Oh, isn't this delicious, right? The woman began berating me for leaving Canyon View. I laughed. I mean, you know, it's like the left foot of fellowship. And taking their sheep and their money. I was just laughing. It's like, how can I steal sheep that God had already given me? And by the way, nobody's a slave. They make choices, right? We're all adults, mostly. Maybe a couple of you, maybe not so much, but we can talk about that later. Yeah, but the rest of you are, right? And Deb just smiled and let her carry on. This is the really funny part. And she never told this woman that she was talking to my wife. Which just proves that with many people, the old expression, if you give a person enough rope, they'll hang themselves every time. She's going to figure it out sometime, months ahead, and she's going to be horrified, and it's going to be funny, but I probably won't get to enjoy that because God won't let me, and that's okay. The point is Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonders, the wonders that you have done, the things that you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. What are we going to tell God? You know, were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. So we're going to try at least. I want to share a few stories recounting, remembering God's great deeds concerning the church. And thank you for your special music, Anne-Marie. Thank you for Marie and your slideshow. We actually have musicians that write their own music. I think that's awesome. I mean, that's just awesome. God has blessed us so many ways. Let me just share a few stories this morning. One of the common themes you will find at Mosaic Church is we have a very heavy outreach emphasis here because Paul says, and here's kind of an obscure verse, Philemon 6, I pray that you may be active in what? The sharing of your faith so you might have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. As we said from the very beginning, we do not keep more than 6 months operating expenses in our bank account, right? In the checking account. The rest goes to community benevolence. Again, cash gifts, first Sunday of the month, Communion Sunday, Pollock Sunday, go directly to benevolence. You would be, maybe not, but you may be astounded at how much need there is out there right now. I mean, this past year, single moms especially, I mean, there's been an epidemic of dirtbag men, I've noticed, leaving their families to go find themselves. Is it just me, or have you noticed this? Women and kids needing food? I mean, we've got to help tons of women in this. And you know, these needs have only increased. Have you noticed this with the housing issue, post-COVID, inflation? We got to help a woman this past year. She's just making ends meet and just barely surviving. Had an abscessed tooth. Didn't know how she's going to pay for it. We paid for it. $200? $250 maybe? This is what we get to do. Life is in the simple dailies, really, in the faith. Unexpected medical bills. We get to support solid Christian groups in our community, and also children, right? Speaking of children, in addition to my wife, Deb, I want to thank Dwight and Bonnie and Brenda for being so involved in our children's ministry. They're just awesome. Thank you. With their commitment to that, we've doubled our children's ministry, so grateful for them. Also want a special shout out. I want to thank Dwight and Greg in this past year for picking up so much of the teaching and preaching needs. As I flew back and forth to Michigan, my dad died in April. I had a number of trips back and forth of that. And then my mom almost passed in October from a perforated appendix. It took over 3 weeks in the hospital. She that was a close call. It was a tough year. So some of you are like, hey, he's been gone quite a bit. That's why, taking care of family, that kind of thing. But you know what? The family took care of itself. We have so many gifted people here. And just release them in Jesus' name. I'm so grateful for all of you. I love the fact that we have retired pastors and pastoral families here. To me, this is awesome. Thank you, Dwight and Doug, Reverend Doug and Debbie Goodall. Wesleyans from Hamilton here are with us. Jack, where's Jack? I think I saw Jack somewhere. I have my glasses on. He was there. There he is. People who have been in ministry, I think about it, it must be daunting when you kind of retired from ministry. Where do you go? Because you don't want long, boring sermons, as Anne Marie has reminded me. Just picking a little bit. So grateful for these folk. Recounting more of the great deeds of God. Here's a few stories. Some of them I've repeated, but some of them are so good, I just have to share them again. Outreach really began at the very beginning of our church existence. 1 month after we started, February 2017, Mosaic had its first outreach event. Women's Ministry hosted a coffee house with Anne Marie's music. Remember that? 6 years ago. Kind of a fog, right? And then through God's leading afterwards, we decided, because we could, we had a bunch of cookies and stuff like that. It was Valentine's time, I think it was. Yeah, that was it. And we decided to take them all to the local bars. Yep. And I remember going with one guy. He was really nervous. He was actually holding my shirt like this when we walked through the door. And I was loving it. And I took this plate of cookies to the bartender at the Rainbow Lady, and I forgot her name. Margie? It was Margie. Yeah. This was sort of our first foray over there. And I said, Margie, I brought you some Valentine's Day cookies. And she said, you're effing awesome. And I said, so are you. And she said, who are you? And I said, oh, I'm Pastor Jim from Mosaic Church. Want to be my guest Sunday morning, 10 a.m.? And she did this. I said, it's okay. It's okay. And that began a sort of an outreach to precious souls in places where most churches would not dare to go. Why? Why? Right? Didn't Jesus come to save the lost? Oh, you know, you can do certain things, but not. Is it illegal, immoral, or unbiblical? None. Okay, we're riding it till the wheels fall off. And so after that, then we started at different times taking extra potluck food over to the bar, and I hope we do that today. Yes. Let's get some food over there today. Just bless people. How about that? Isn't that cool? So many different things. Other outreaches, giving out water, offering a cool place during Daily Days, fair parade, that kind of thing. We upped the fair parade this year with candy and bottled water and all kind of cool stuff. Want to thank our church deacon, Wayne, who oversees the day-to-day here. Thank you, Wayne. You know, everything's clean and put in order and all that kind of stuff. And after potluck, this place is destroyed, which is okay. I mean, Carol tried to destroy it earlier and threw a lasagna on the wall accidentally. But like I used to say at Canyon View, and some people hated this, it's like, unless there's a stain on the wall or a rip in the carpet, we haven't done ministry, right? No model churches. Ugh, yuck. Anyway, thanks, Carol. where am I here? Oh, outreaches. Oh, we did it twice. How many of you remember the Amani Children's Choir, Kampala, Uganda, East Africa? Here we go. That was fun. Unfortunately, Greg found out a couple days ago, they are just after post-pandemic. This was really crazy. Pastor James and the choir pandemic hit, and they were stuck in California for like, what, 4 or 5 months? And they couldn't get home. Not to embarrass him, but Greg made some calls, and there were some deep pockets and got him back to Uganda. They were stuck there. So they're coming back for the first time to America. They're going to be on the East Coast and in the Midwest. Unfortunately, this year, they're not making it out west, but we're holding out for 2024. How about that? And it's going to be awesome. We're going to encourage that. But they have to rebuild. Poor Pastor James was stuck with all these kids for 4 or 5 months in a foreign land. God bless him. Good man. Anyway, how many of you hosted some of these kids? How was it? That was fun, wasn't it? Isn't that a blessing? I have never seen more head turning in Hamilton, Montana when we had 24 little black kids walking down the streets. It was awesome. Like, you know, I loved it. You know, many of you know I've had the privilege of doing some missions work in Uganda. Greg and I are hoping to head back this fall, teaching at a local Bible college, as well as doing like teaching conferences for bush pastors with our friend and ground partner, Sam. Do we have a picture of Sam Namalabe? There he is and his family. Actually, they've since had another, there's a third Namalabe child that is in that picture now. But Sam's going to be probably heading out here in April. So you'll get to reconnect. He's a great guy doing great work, one of our ground partners. Let me tell you that the things, you know, go both ways. Heads also turn in Uganda when a Mzungu, me, literally means white man running around because white people never stop. They're like, why don't you people sit down and relax? It's funny. When a Mzungu shows up in a bush village, the little kids, I've shared that the little kids, they have a couple responses, but the one, sometimes they get really excited and they run up to you, Mzungu, Mzungu, and they touch you. And one of the things they like to do is knead you, like a cat, you know? And they like to touch the hair, because Ugandan men are very black and no hair on their arms, so they love to touch the hair. And I think they think I'm like a white gorilla escaped from Windy National Forest. It's sort of a thing for them. It's really funny, actually. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, I remember when we were visiting the bush village of Bwengo. I've shared this before. I was able to quickly destroy some nasty racial and religious lies. And what were they? The local witch doctors and Muslim imams had told the children in the area not to go near white people. Evidently, we were dangerous. Not go white, and why? And I kid you not, I wish I was making this up. Why shouldn't they go near white people? Because we would eat them. I'm not making this up. Are you making them? Nope. White people eat Ugandan children, evidently. I don't know why. There's no meat on their bones. I mean, if I was going to eat a child, it'd be a fat little kid from the suburbs, I guess. But why? Anyway, so I decided to make a game out of it because I'm incredibly juvenile, if you haven't noticed. So because I was the white guy, this group of kids just sort of started following me around the village. I mean, they kept their distance following me. And I was like, I'm going to have some fun with this. And so I would hide behind fruit trees and coffee trees, and they would like, where'd he go? And then I would jump out and I'd go, Mzungu! And they'd freak out and they'd all run away. And I'm like, this is funny. And pretty soon they're like, they'd get together. And I did that like 5 or 6 times. And pretty soon they realized I wasn't gonna eat them. And what was really precious is pretty soon they were holding the hands of their first white Christian missionary. That's the beginning of sharing the gospel, people. The witch doctors and Muslim imams stay away from them. It's like, that only took me about 20 minutes. That was really fun. It was cool. One other quick story. I shouldn't laugh, but I will. when we were in the bush town of Kamuli with Sam Namalabe, I remember we were standing there, and two little cute little black girls came around the corner. And when the youngest one saw me, she nearly jumped out of her skin. It was crazy. She cried hysterically and ran off to her mother. I was the first white guy she had ever seen. I think she thought she saw a ghost. And you know, I usually look like a ghost until summertime and I get a little tan going on, but that was frightening. And it was just a weird piece of experience. Our Halloween outreaches, how many of you are involved in our Halloween outreach? I call it the 1 hour of madness. Actually, now it's longer. It was 2 hours this year. They just kept coming, the kids. What a ton of fun. So my wife, when we first started the church, spearheaded this little outreach ministry. I remember the first year, we didn't have much money in the church. And my wife didn't care. She got the big Walmart cart, not the little one, the big one. And she just started throwing bags of candy in there, you know, like a mad woman. And I was like, I don't know where we're going to get this money from. I got, you know, I'm going to have to tell Sarah. And I'm like, how are we going to do this? And I got a little nervous. And I said, I just was like, woman, you're going to bankrupt the church. And the Missoulian just started laughing, you know. And we, I had a picture of just this candy going down the conveyor belt. And then at the time, Deb was working or teaching at Hamilton Christian Academy. And she brought her class down and broke every child labor law and had the kids pack 1,000 bags. We go for 1,000 every year, 5 to 6 pieces in each bag. And that was hilarious. Now, let's see, last Halloween, is Tommy here? He's in Bozeman. Tommy assembled the bag. Tommy Bender assembled the bags. I think it was for a school project, wasn't it, Heather, or something?
Yeah,
community service. If Tommy or Josh need community service, please let me know. That'd be awesome. Oh, sweet. Yeah, so Tommy put all these together this year. We just roll with it. You know, the highlight for me is seeing the young parents of the community. They look at the bags of candy we give, and you know what they've said is, these people, meaning Mosaic Church, give out the best candy in town. We give out tons of stuff. Did a little math. That means in 6 years we've given out probably over 30,000 pieces of candy. You're like, that's excessive. I'm like, let's do more in Jesus' name. Is it immoral, illegal, or unbiblical? No, right? Radical giving, check. Operation Christmas Child, wild success here. I think I'm gathering that Mosaic has more OCC volunteer staff than probably most any church in the state, which is awesome, right? Cindy is back there. Joan, our church coordinators have done a great job. Joan's, are you still the prayer coordinator for OCC, the area, greater Missoula area? Greg and Debbie are the co-area coordinators. They've done an awesome job. Can we say thank you, you all? Thank you. Is it this past year, Greg, over 11 million children around the globe received a shoebox of love? Just for the year.
This year we celebrate 200 million children.
200 million children have gotten shoeboxes in the history of OCC.
Wow.
Shoeboxes of love. Items they can use, and also they're invited to be a part of its 12-week series, right? The Greatest Journey? Yeah, 12 Lessons, Greatest Journey Bible program where they're introduced to the gospel. The stats are this on OCC. It's really amazing. For every third world child that gets a shoebox of love, 7 other people are impacted or hear the gospel. Do you see the exponentiality, did I just make up a word, of the gospel in these ministries? 200 million kids are hearing the gospel. This is awesome. I love it. I love being a part of this kind of thing. Now, we should probably say something about the Christmas outreaches, which have been a lot of fun. Over the years, God has used in amazing and unpredictable ways. Women's ministry, usually come to our house, they make and bring cookies, there it is. And there's Wayne too, because he's got to be a rebel. But normally it's just women, and I get dragged in. But I did a little math. Over 6,000 cookies have been given out in Jesus' name. I'm not a big stats math guy, but it's worth recounting, I think. Remember, we have these here during Advent, and people can grab one or two, and you can bless a neighbor, a coworker, a shut-in, or the nastiest person on your block. I really like those. Remember the story about Armand? I don't want any of your damn Jesus cookies. His words, not mine. Yeah, well, he got the damn Jesus cookies, and he got Jesus before he died. Amen?
Yeah,
love it. No apologies. Oh, the language. Being damned to hell is actually language, is hard, right? Eternity? All right. This isn't so much a salvation message, although it is God's great deed, 6,000 cookies. Many of you know that over the past six Christmases, Mosaic has partnered with Bowers Market, the former Merck, right in Corvallis. We've become a Detroit assembly line. Every year, 400 complete ham dinners with all the fixings go out to the community, people in need. Our best workers this year, Rainbow Guys. Sandy was in his Santa suit, giving out. I mean, people know people, and it was awesome. And you've heard me read a few of the cards. I think I did that last week. Just great. Merck has been very generous. In the last 6 years, over $100,000 in food has gone out. Wow. 50,000 in gift cards. We're just the vehicle, the vessel, right? I was talking with Mark earlier. He had said something quite memorable as in his work with AA and whatnot. And I think it's so true in ministry too. You know the story of Palm Sunday, Jesus riding the donkey in? He said, you know, have you ever thought that when Jesus was riding the donkey in that and people were shouting and praising him, that the donkey thought that was for him? I thought, I got to use this sometime. I'm using it now, Mark. He said, guess what? I'm just going to say it. Guess what? You and I, especially I, are the ass that contains the message. Jesus is the message. We're just the donkeys. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
It's what we do. Leadership is not this way, it's this way. I'm down here, the lost are up here. Does this make sense? This is what Mosaic is really about. Oh, he curses in church. That's not my point. Not my point. Okay, do you know that our secular newspaper has written tremendous articles on these activities and these outreaches? Secular newspaper, most sympathetic articles concerning a Christian church and outreach I've ever seen in my life, right? In some ways, those articles have caused people to like, oh, who are those people and what are they doing? It's sort of put us on the awareness map for some people in the community. Okay, cherry on top, some of you know this story, it's gotta be said again. December 2019, God's coup de grace. Right? Christmas, Advent season was just about to begin. Where's Lee Foss? There he is. I don't think I've ever told you this, Lee, but it's like, I remember I was getting ready to preach and Lee came up to me, he was the agent, and he said, hey, Jim, I just want you to know the building's been sold. I'm like, couldn't you have told me after the sermon? Or it was in the process. But that wasn't the end of the story at all, and Lee handled that and blessed us in the process. You know, it looked like we were going to be homeless as a church, but do you believe God's humor is matchless?
Yep.
God is hilarious, right? If you don't think God laughs, find another church. After a time of prayer, we realized, it kind of came to me because it was only a few months before Mark Weyer, the former owner, came to me and said, I know you've been given donations, but it would be better for me for tax purposes if we created a little rental contract. I'm like, okay, fine. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you second right of refusal after Elevate if the building is sold. I'm like, hey, I didn't think about it at the time. And Wayne and Greg and I were sitting there praying, just like, oh, what are we going to do? And I think it was Wayne's like, let's just pray for a while. And we did. And then all of a sudden, oh, we have second right of refusal. That means if Marla can't swing it, we could. What do we do? Oh, for $5,000, we got to buy time. We bought a number of weeks for $5,000. It was kind of throwing the fleece down. It was like, you know, the worst thing that could happen, we'd lose $5,000, which is, you know, not fun, but let's see what God may or may not do. Earnest money. We bought us time to think and pray. And do you know that in 6 to 7 weeks, I came up here, there was no committees, for God so loved the world that he didn't send a committee, hate committees. I just stood here before and I said, what do you want to do? It's your church, as much or more than mine. What do you want to do? Do you want this building? And every single person said, we need to be here. I said, okay, I talked to the bank and here's what they say we need to be here permanently. I need $112,000 in cash. I need 3-year pledge cards that you will give X amount of dollars per year for 3 years. I need to show these to the bankers, to the president and vice president of the bank down the street. And you said, in 6 to 7 weeks, you said, okay, and we got the money. No meetings, no deliberations, 6 to 7 weeks, unheard of. I've been in ministry for 30 years. I've seen all kind of stuff. I've never once ever seen a church in their third year in 6 or 7 weeks come up with that kind of money. It was your faithfulness. Amen? Thank you. Oh, by the way, how many of you made 3-year pledges? Don't forget them. This is your little... Peter says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And if you want to be a part of this, please do. You know, in 3 years, this building is over half paid.
Praise God.
And when we pay this thing off, guess what? We got more money for outreach. How's that sound? There I was signing the papers. December 30th, 2019. Wow, he needs Hair Club for Men. Maybe we should start a fund for that. I'm getting there. That's what my brother does. Anyway, Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonders that you have done. The things that you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. Now, regarding our building, which I also call our mission center, I love being right in the middle of town. You have to walk by and say, what's going on there? I love it when people stick their heads and look around. I do this and they go, because people are nosy. It's just sort of human nature. Our mission center. This past year, we've been doing some building stuff. In 2022, we was able to secure a very generous outside donation. Not a penny came from general fund or any special giving outside of that. We were able to take down our old 100-year-old coal-fired chimney. And you're like, yeah, who cares? Well, what it was doing, it was cracking the whole northeast corner here and it was sagging. And if we hadn't done that, by now we would have a land bridge to Mineshaft Pasty Company and it wouldn't have been pretty. I mean, ministry can be incredibly practical. So we were glad to do that. We are able to, and there's a little bit of question about that, install this new LED lighting. I know it was a little bright for folk at first before we got the diffusers. We were able to redo all the lighting in our tenant Elevate as well. But keep in mind, not a penny came from Mosaic's budget on any of this. It all came from the outside because people who have money, if they see you're on mission, they get interested. If you do this, they're not interested. They're like, hey, come on, see what we're doing. Okay, thank you very much. Keep it coming, right? I know that, did you know we have several people in the church family for whom flickering fluorescent lights could put them into seizures? We wanted to attend to that. That's a practical need, right? Yes, you're welcome, Melissa. And it's not just Melissa. But we try and keep in mind the practical, very practical needs, right? We've got some gluten-free things going on back there for the thing. We've got, we want to be minister to that as well. And again, it's like, sometimes people misunderstood, but, when we decided to upgrade our chairs, this is a long way from 6 years ago when the first Sunday we were here, this is how I had to spin it. Hey, it's bring your favorite chair to church Sunday. We had no chairs. People brought long chairs. Some people brought like these beach chairs. I'm like, dude, you're just not supposed to go to sleep in church unless the sermon gets long and boring. But we updated those and it's like we had some people like, oh, these are nice. Ooh, it's like we're a real church now. And I'm like, no, that's not why we did it. We had a lot of people with back issues. But there's a method to this madness really here. So we're grateful for those significant outside donations that let us do other sorts of things. I want to do a few special shout outs to some dear ladies here at Mosaic. Want to thank Carol Weber, who does our Main Street window. Thank you. They're awesome. It takes a lot of time and a lot of thought and prayer. Want to thank Heather Bender for who's taking over the refreshment tables. It looks great, Heather. Thank you. Kathy Fegley, she does the anniversary special cards, birthday cards, that kind of thing. Again, ministry is so practical, right? It's in the dailies. Thank you, Joan, for handing secretarial duties for us. Thank you. If you do not get but would like to get the weekly email, and you're not on that list, please get that to Joan. We don't, you know, blast your box or anything, but it's special prayer requests or little reminders about what's going on. Just sort of trying to be helpful there a little bit. Have to shout out to Sarah Reeves, our awesome treasure extraordinaire. Thank you. She's been faithful this whole time, and treasurer job is one of those jobs that if it's done well, nobody really notices. If it's done badly, everybody notices because it's a mess, right? So thank you, Sarah. Jody is not here, but meal ministry, I know other people are part. Susan Slamp, Mark is a part, Lima, some others perhaps. Want to thank, Sonia. Want to thank you, Sonia McCormick. She makes sure that the sermons and bulletins are on that table every Sunday morning. Again, it's in the practicalities. Thank you. Who else we got here? Thank you, Holly Coy, for designing our awesome children's church room upstairs. If you haven't seen that, check it out. Josh helped too. A bit, perhaps. My wife, who's upstairs, she also does special events, baby showers, things like that. Please forgive me if I've forgotten anyone, please. Sometimes I'm forgetful. In addition to creating our awesome children's ministry space upstairs, just a shout out, Josh and Holly Coy will soon be rehabbing the bathrooms. We're waiting for stuff to come in, right? Flooring's a problem. Yeah, that's the supply chain issue, right? My youngest son is a freight broker in Denver. He's the one trying to make, you know, trains, planes, and automobiles work. So people are screaming at him for 14 hours a day, which is okay, I guess, if you're young. After 40, that's when you start having coronaries as traders. But anyway, I riff as usual. So they're going to make that space beautiful because right now it looks like an urban 1950s warehouse. It's ugly as sin. It's functional, but time to move in on that a little bit, right? So as we begin our sixth year of life and ministry here at Mosaic Church, we are committed more now than ever to our core values and vision of being radically loving, giving, and forgiving in all we say and do. And so let's do things and continue to do things God's way, right? Because if your Christian life is boring, you're not doing it right, people. We can sit down and talk about your boring life and how to change that. Wayne has reminded me in the past of this little saying, and I close with this. The Christian life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body. No. Rather, it is to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride." Isn't that the kind of church you want to be part of? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Just sharing a few of the great deeds of our God this morning. So let me pray, and as we prepare for a time, what a perfect Sunday to commune together with the elements and that kind of thing. Again, I found out we have a number of gluten-free people here, and I want to be sensitive to that, so I baked a gluten-free loaf that's there for you as well. Let me pray for our communion time, as well as our food and potluck, and continue on in our time of worship. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this special anniversary birthday Sunday. 6 years already, Lord, of you moving mightily in our midst, in great events, and also in the little practical dailies of our lives. And so we just thank you for that. And we just pray your continued blessing on Mosaic Church, your protection, that you would raise up more people to serve our community, that gifts would be used, that hearts' passions would be employed. And thank you so much that we get to do this. We don't got to do church. We get to do church, and we just thank you that we get to do that together. And so, Lord, we pray for this time of communion with you. We pray that our communion and union with you would only grow deeper. Pray for this moment as we do that together, as well as we pray for the food and the potluck time. We ask your blessing upon the food as well as the hands that prepared it, and we give you thanks for all of these things as we recount your great deeds, O Lord, today. We do this only and always in the name of Jesus, saying, amen. Amen. Amen.